morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's good to be with you on this Friday morning in Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation in the Archdiocese, and I welcome you to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm flying solo this morning. Father Greg Sakowitz is attending to some parish things, and Wayne Magyaz is attending a funeral. But it's Friday. Thank God it's TGIT is what I like to say. Thank God it's today.
Yeah, there you go.
Because every day is a day to celebrate the love of God. We have an exciting program for you today. This month, is it this month, Anita?
Yes.
This month marks the 10th anniversary of the establishment of the Archdiocesan Office for Racial Justice. We're going to be discussing the origination, the purpose, and the accomplishments of this important office in the life, not only of the Archdiocese, but of the city of Chicago. With us in the studio today are Sister Anita Baird, a daughter of the Heart of Mary, who is the director of the Office for Racial Justice, Esther Hicks, who is the co-chair of the Archdiocesan team, anti-racism team, and works with the Office for Catholic Schools, Alicia Juarez, Associate Director of the Office for Racial Justice, and my old buddy Andrew Like, who is a member of the anti-racism team. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sister Anita, you've been part of this effort from the ground floor. Tell us about the origination of the office. What was it that brought it to the attention of the Archdiocese that there was an important need and, just as importantly, that there was the possibility of making a response?
Well, Graz, I think we have to go back a little to 1997. And in March of 97, there was a beating of a young black boy in Chicago. He almost died from it. His name was Leonard Clark. And the perpetrators were three young men who were graduates of a Catholic high school. And at the time that it happened, Cardinal Bernardin had died. And Bishop
Gettert,
thank you. Oh, I'm drawing a blank. Forgive me. Bishop Gettert was the administrator of the Archdiocese, and he was appalled by that and shocked. And he said, we really need to address this issue, that somehow we were failing as a church if young men who went through Catholic schools could do this. So he called a task force together, and Andrew was a part of that task force. I don't know if Esther was.
Not at the time.
Okay, Esther. But there was at least about 40 or 50 people from across the city and suburbs, religious, political leaders, just ordinary church folks, but people who were passionate about this. And the Office for Peace and Justice kind of headed the initiative. And so what Bishop Gettert asked was that they come up with some recommendations. And he made a commitment that the Archdiocese would take seriously what their recommendations were. In the meantime, Cardinal George comes to Chicago as our new Archbishop. The task force worked for about 18 months, and at the end of that time, they had some specific recommendations that they presented to the Cardinal. Two of them were very important, and one was that they wanted him to write about racism, particularly as it plays out in the city and the Archdiocese of Chicago. And secondly, this work was done primarily through the Office of Peace and Justice. They felt it was important enough that it would be an office standing alone that would be dedicated to addressing the issues of race and racism, among many other recommendations. And the Cardinal took their suggestions very seriously. That was in 99. And at the time, I was serving as the Cardinal's executive assistant. And in 2000, he asked me if I would be willing to establish the office.
That's excellent. Now, you've all had experience with one of the consequences, one of the accomplishments of this initial initiative, which was to create an anti-racism team. Mm-hmm. Esther, you've been part of that from both the school side and the archdiocesan side. Tell us a little bit about the vision that that drove the establishment of those two teams. What was the hope? What was the goal?
Actually, two things were going on at the same time. One is that the principals of the Archdiocese of Chicago, in a sense, reacted and responded to the incident that Anita was just talking about. And the response was the establishment of the Archdiocese of Chicago Principals Anti-Racism Team. And that team began work right away to address the issue of racism in the schools. They still exist. That group still exists. They are very committed to the work that they are doing. And in order to create coordinated efforts, some of the principals and our office and the Office then for Racial Justice came together in a collaborative way to be formed as an anti-racism team. And so we engaged the work of facilitators to help us develop a team and a plan. And so I'm trying to remember the date exactly, Anita. 2000?
Yeah, the pastoral letter was in 2001. We started in 2002 with the team, the formation
right.
of the team.
Right. And so with that formation process, we developed a plan, and we have been since then working as a team. Andrew, you were part of this, to implement the long-range plan that we have now in the Archdiocese of Chicago to address issues of racism in the church, in our schools, and in the city of Chicago, or yeah. Chicagoland, I should say.
Let's contextualize this for a moment. I know that at the core of all that you're doing is the conviction that racism is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-brainer to those of us sitting in this room. I'm not sure that's always a no-brainer to everybody. Andrew, you're an African-American man. You grew up in a society that was much less enlightened than it is today, although we all know that the sin of racism continues. Help us to understand the sinfulness of racism from your own perspective. How have you experienced it as a sin?
Well, in the fact that it just denies the incarnation itself, that we are one people, one family of God. And I think that the church, historically, as it has addressed racism, has addressed that interpersonal connection. It's about being kind to one another. It's about Christian kindness. What our team addresses, I mean, that's good. It's important that we're kind to one another, you know. But what's most important in the work of the office and the team is to recognize those systemic, institutional systems that are there that perpetuate racism, it shrouds it in such a way that sometimes you can't recognize it because we're only looking at people's intentions. You know, if our intentions are to be kind, but we're not paying attention to the structures that are in place that really perpetuate racism, that put people of color into a second class, we haven't done much.
Would that be somewhat akin to the old adage, give a person a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a person to fish and you feed them for life? So that you're talking about not just a Band-Aid kind of a thing, not just being nice, but really recognizing the innate, the inherent dignity right. of a human being, and that they're entitled to this. This is not something I'm giving you as a gift. This is something I owe you because you're a human being just as like I'm a human being.
It's our birthright as children of God. Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to, Alicia, we haven't forgotten about you. We're going to come back to you in just a moment. But first, we need to take a short break. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Irrelevant Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Don't go away.
Catholic Charities 13th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 28th at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, more than 500 golfers will have the opportunity to play on all four courses. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Marianne Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet celebrities including former Blackhawks legend Stan Mikita. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/golf. That's www.catholiccharities.net/golf.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's 9:12 on this Friday morning. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you are keeping cool. And we thank you for choosing to spend this part of your morning with us. We are talking today about the 10th anniversary of the establishment of the Office for Racial Justice in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we're talking with Sister Anita Baird, who is the director of that office, with Alicia Juarez, who is the associate director, Esther Hicks of the Office of Catholic Schools, and Andrew Like, a member of the anti-racism team. Alicia, you joined the office how long ago?
A little bit over 5 years ago. I can't believe it's been going so quickly. That's
a long time. Tell us about some of the specific work and projects that you're involved with.
Well, I became kind of like the creative element in the office. And certainly there's the my dimension of even though I was born here in Chicago, actually. But my parents migrated from Mexico. Hmm. And there's that whole other, I guess, component when you're talking about racism in this archdiocese, in this city. I thought before coming to the office, I kind of had a good grip of, you know, that dimension. And certainly as a first generation, I could, you know, I have that witness that I could speak to. But then the other part is the complexity of the migrant people, because there is a whole lot of other racism didn't just happen here in this country. There's all this other racism baggage that people from other countries come with, and I think that makes it so much more complex. And I'm not just talking from one person to another person, but it's you know, where Andrew was talking about the institutional part, and that is also within the fabric of the institutions in particularly to Mexico, I could speak more to. So I think that's important, especially because we have so many of our Catholics in this archdiocese are, and particularly from the part of Mexico. Getting to know that more of that complexity of the history and their lack of history of this in this country, I think it's is what makes it sometimes harder for, like, for instance, Hispanic folks and Black folks to be able to come together to the same table, mm-hmm. and understand that they're going through, you know, the same things.
You know, I think you said something that I find helpful. Let me see if we can just explore it a little bit and see if I've understood it correctly. Is there racism in other countries? And if so, how does it manifest itself? I think sometimes the white dominant culture here can become defensive in thinking we're the only ones who are racists. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about that reality, too. Mm-hmm. But maybe to sort of mollify some of that defensiveness, can you talk about the reality of racism in other cultures? Does it exist in other cultures? And if so, how does that work?
Well, we have to remember that that Mexico was colonized by Spanish. And not very different from some of the reasons why, the colonists came over here. There was this religion, uncomfortableness back in the country, or wanting to obtain, more territory to be able to claim this is, in this case, Catholic territory in the case of Mexico. It was really imposing one way onto another people. And in that process, somebody ended up being dehumanized the very same way our Native American, our nation people were dehumanized here. Along with that colonization, they also brought slaves from Africa. And that is one of the things that sometimes Mexico does not remember, unfortunately. As a matter of fact, I have a column in Católico, for July, I ended up writing about a exhibition they're going to be having at Tusabo Museum come August through September. It was in the Mexican Fine Arts Museum. And it tells a whole story that's not in the history books in Mexico, of the African people, African slaves. Yanka, in particular, the struggle. And up to this point, black people in Mexico, their roles are very demeaning. It's very heartbreaking to me. To see even from little children, this is, ingrained. It's part of how you end up seeing a black person. Yeah.
We went to Mexico with the Cardinal in 2000, and I had that firsthand experience, and we visited an area that was heavily populated by Afro-Mexicans. And listening to their stories and their struggle, I was back in the 1950s in the South.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And these are people you talk about not being seen and voiceless. But also, I think, Graz, the important part is that when people come here from other places, they quickly learn. I think Esther and Andrew can agree mm-hmm. with me on this. They quickly learn the pecking order mm-hmm. and
Absolutely.
Who's on the bottom and who's on the top. And even our brothers and sisters that come from Africa learn very quickly that they do not want to be identified with African Americans mm-hmm. because they know the baggage that comes with that. So I think when we look at racism, it's all over, and it's been there since the beginning of time, and undoubtedly will be there, as long as there's humanity. But we certainly have created a particular form of racism based on the color of someone's skin. And we have exported that. We've done a good job as Americans of exporting that and using that for our own benefit.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I want to go back to Andrew's thought about the institutional nature of racism, that this isn't some individual, like or dislike of another person because of the color of a person's skin, but it really is. What we're talking about are symptoms of a disease that's a structural disease. And to get at that and understand it is one of the key issues I think we have in this country and, obviously in other countries to really deal with racism from the perspective of institutional racism.
It's not just a matter of the heart,
Exactly.
If it was what was in our hearts, we wouldn't be talking about
right.
it. It's really looking at those that orientation mm-hmm. that's part of the fabric of being American, and as Alicia said, it's very complex, and it has elements that come from the experience south of the border. It has those elements, strong elements that come from our history. Mm-hmm. Liberation from England. that the style of racism that we experience mostly here in the United States has much to do with the conquering style of the British and the Dutch and the Germans, whereas in across south of the border, much of it had to do with the style, the conquering style of the Spanish and the Portuguese and so forth.
We're going to go to a break. We'd like to remind our listeners to feel free to give us a call if you have any comments, you want to weigh in on the conversation, especially if you have any questions. Our number is 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after this short message.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, sitting here in our studio with four very committed people who've been involved for 10 years in one of the most important efforts within the Archdiocese, is recognizing the sin of racism and especially the institutionalization of racism within our culture. We're talking with Sister Anita Baird, with Alicia Juarez, with Esther Hicks, and with Andrew Like. And we're grateful that you're all here to talk about this important topic. You know, we hear about racism. You know, it's in the news, it's in the papers, it's in newspaper articles. When you're a member of the so-called dominant culture, it's easy to think, oh, one more time, I'm listening to this issue of racism. If you're a person of color, you live that reality on a daily basis. As a Caucasian person, I'm not sure I have a clue, you know, what that's like and how persons of color encounter the reality of racism on a daily basis. Esther, you're part of the dominant culture. Talk about the reality that this work has helped to make us aware that there are definite benefits to being a white person.
That's
in this
exactly
culture.
It. We are the beneficiaries of a society that was planned for people like us. And all we had to do is go back a little bit in history to see how our institutions were developed for the white dominant culture to be able to succeed and to benefit from the way the culture was structured. And so I don't have to worry about crossing the street. I don't have to worry about going into a store. I don't have to worry about using my credit card and somebody questioning me about using it or something else. I just don't have those worries. Why don't I have them? Is it because I'm just not conscious of what I do or don't have? I don't think so. I think one of the things that I know we've learned in this whole 10-year experience is to be aware, to be conscious of what those privileges are, and then to understand how those privileges don't exist for everybody. So that level of consciousness is what we're trying to develop. Mm-hmm.
So you've got a person who's, you know, thinking, hey, we're in a tough economy. Everybody's got it rough. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm applying for a job. You're applying for a job. Is there a chance I'm not going to get it because I'm part of the dominant culture? Andrew, talk about that reality. I mean, people sometimes really get stuck right there at that point.
And that's looking at the micro, you know. It's about me and my access or lack thereof. And I don't want to dismiss that. That's important to be able to address that, at least hear it. But the truth is, it's also a matter of correcting some historical injustices that have been systemic. And sometimes we can't just attend to the micro. We have to look at the macro view and the historical view and to do some affirmative action around correcting some of that, and it didn't happen overnight. This was something that was in place for centuries, and it's going to take a while to get beyond that. Sadly, there will be some perceived, you know, reverse racism around that. You know, and I think it's a mistake to dismiss it, but it's also a mistake to be distracted by it.
Yeah.
I think when we talk about privilege, and that does become something that we find as we do training, and we've been doing these trainings since 2004, so we have covered a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about the particularly white privilege, people become defensive, because when you think of privilege, you think of money and access and resource. Most of us are working people struggling to pay mortgages, you know, to keep children in school. So the question is, how can you see me as being privileged? And that's where we try to talk about that it is simply because of the color of your skin gives you certain access and privilege that people of color do not have on a readily mm-hmm. basis. There are exceptions to every rule. But I think we have to understand, just looking at our church, Esther was talking about we were a society that was formed to benefit a particular population. The church in this country was set up to service the needs of immigrants arriving from Europe. We know after the Civil War, the bishops made a conscious decision, because so many immigrants were coming here, whether they were going to serve the black population, newly freed slaves, the native people on reservations, or these huge numbers of arriving immigrants. And the decision was made they did not have the resources to serve everyone, so that they were going to serve the newly arriving immigrants that looked like them, you know, and that they identified with. And they left the ministry of African Americans and Native people, and then later even Latino people, primarily to missionary groups. So our structures, the way we operate, the way we form our educational system, was all set up to serve this population, and the rest of us were left out.
You know, there's a book that was recently published by Father Brian Massengill, Racism in the Catholic Church, that it spells that out so well. It gives, a very articulate history of the Catholic Church's decisions in terms of responding to key moments in our racial history and how that's occurred. It's an excellent book, and I commend Father Massengill for publishing it and putting it out there.
You know, what you said a moment ago, Anita, about we don't see ourselves as privileged. You know, I'm a regular working guy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have anything on anybody. And I deal with that even in my own family. I try to counter that argument, and it's difficult. But what usually helps is if I tell a story, if mm-hmm. I say, look, imagine that you were, and you've got all of what you've got, plus you're African-American. You've lived this reality. In the workshops that you do on anti-racism, one of the components is people do get up and tell their stories.
Yeah.
Can you share an anecdote, either from your own personal experience or from those that you've heard in the workshops that can help us in this regard?
I could share from my own personal experience in terms of just raising a children in a suburban bubble, send our kids to Catholic school. And in the Catholic school, there's, you know, Officer Friendly comes out, the D.A.R.E. program, and talk about police and how they serve society and everything. And the dilemma I had, because I'm raising a black boy who will be a black man who lives in a society in a state where its fastest growing industry is the prison system that is designed for him. I mean, he has a much greater chance than his white buddies of landing in the system.
The one thing designed for people of color.
It's
right?
designed for him. So I had to kind of correct the message. Yes, Officer Friendly is there to serve and protect most of us. But Officer Friendly is really there to contain you. I mean, that's a reality I had to tell my son, which really kind of exploded the suburban bubble for us. We realize no matter where we raise our children in the society, they go out into the world as black people, and there are systemic things out there that he has to be prepared for. I would not be preparing my son for life if I led him to believe that the police were there to protect him only, that I have to let him know that they will contain him, that his buddies will have the freedom of having a wild night. He doesn't. He'll land in the system. They'll get a slap on the wrist. He'll land up in the system. And he needed to know that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important. And that's a burden
and
that
we need to know that.
Yeah, but that's a burden that we carried that. As an African-American family that our white neighbors did not carry.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. I'm sure that's a hard truth to share because it's both a difficult reality that you and your son have to live with, you know, 24 hours a day, but it's also something you have to confront the dominant culture with and say, this is my life and this is my son's life.
And at the same time, while I'm preparing my son for that, there's a part of me that has to work against that. I can't just sit back and say that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I have to fight it.
That's right. And that's what the anti-racism effort has been for these past 10 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a break and then return and continue this important conversation about the efforts within the Archdiocese of Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techni Towers in Techni, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And that special music signals that we have a special guest. We welcome to the program Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World. Welcome, Joyce.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So what do you got coming up in the next issue?
We've got, I just got the Cardinal's column in, so he's talking about the immigration law and immigration reform. He just got back from a trip to Mexico. So he kind of incorporates what he was seeing there and the bishop's approach to the law and the challenges and such. We've got an update on the annual appeal. Then we've got a story. Our deacon program has gotten a little bit of a, it's been reformed a little bit to mirror more of how the priests are formed in the archdiocese. So that's new for us. It's been a new change in, I think, like 40 years. Then we have our center spread we're having some fun with this year, or this issue. We're taking parishes that have some unfamiliar names, like where's in looking at who is that saint, who is Saint Ida, who is Saint, you know, some of these.
Great idea.
Who is Saint Sabine and who's Saint Symphorosa. So it's kind of fun. It's a little bit lighthearted for the summer and everyone's on vacation.
That's a topic near and dear to my heart. I have a collection of saints, so. Why don't you ask people out there who have a Saint Symphorosa to send it in? We should have an archdiocesan collection of all the saints.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
And I also want to put a shout out there. We're looking for putting together a bucket list, a Catholic bucket list for, like, what devotion have you been to, or what church have you been to that's just been a really neat, prayerful experience that you really think people should see in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So if you go to our website at CatholicNewWorld.com, you can find out information on what we're looking for. If it's been a special devotion, if it's been, maybe a shrine, something like that, so that we can share it with everybody on the little treasures that we have in the Archdiocese.
A must-see treasure within the Archdiocese. I understand you also have an interview with someone near and dear to our hearts.
Yes, in the last issue, Sister Anita, we had the Office for Racial Justice for their anniversary. They've done a lot of good work.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like an exciting and feature and news-packed issue.
Thank you. Yes.
So we want to encourage our listeners to also be readers of the good news of the Archdiocese of Chicago and subscribe to the Catholic New World. Joyce, we thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Have a great week. And we're going to continue our conversation now about the 10th anniversary of the Office for Racial Justice. Tell me, Anita, how are you planning to celebrate this anniversary?
Well, we are going to have a 10th anniversary mass on Monday, July the 19th at the Meyer Center, and Cardinal George will be the main celebrant. We're not doing anything really major. It's low-key, but we want to mark the moment, and particularly to thank the Cardinal, I think, for his vision. There is no other office, to my knowledge, in any diocese in this country that has an office for racial justice.
Really? No. More unique?
No. Now, a lot of bishops have written pastoral letters, and most of this work would be done under the auspices of peace and justice offices. But for the Cardinal's vision to say that this is important enough that we are going to make a commitment not only to address it, but to work at changing who we are and our institutions and our systems so that people of color are included and they have a place at the table and their voice is being heard. It's a long-term commitment.
Long-term.
And so I think we need to acknowledge that.
That's great. Alicia, As a Latina, someone who lives this experience from a different perspective, tell us about how being not only a person of color, but a person of a different language impacts this whole reality. You know, the one advantage that African Americans have is they speak the dominant language. Hispanics, Latinos who come here from other countries often don't. And sometimes that becomes a source of real resentment. You know, press one if you want English, press two if you want Spanish. Talk about that from the lived experience of someone. Your own parents came here as immigrants. Actually, I myself and my parents came here as immigrants and dealt with that language issue. Can you help us understand that experience a little more?
Well, when I was... my first language, first of all, was Spanish, of course, because that's the one language my parents felt most comfortable in. And they, my mom needed to yell at me. She'll yell at me the comfortable language. So it was Spanish. But then being the oldest of three daughters they have, I was the first, you know, pioneer to learn the English language. And at that time, it was not popular to children to retain Spanish. Actually, I remember very vividly principals and teachers telling my mom, you stop talking to them in Spanish, because it was very, there was a movement in the 70s, mid-70s. It started in the early 70s and it went into, you know, through the 70s. No Spanish. But yet that was also the beginning of bilingual education. And my parents chose not to listen to the principals or the teachers, and they thought it was important for their daughters to retain the Spanish language and also, in this case, learn the English language. But I think one of the challenges is that some Latinos also learn that ends up sometimes setting them back, ends up marking them. So they also make the choice not to learn, you know, for their kids to learn Spanish, and actually to kind of like totally remove themselves from that Latin culture image, anything, you know. We're talking about privilege, you know, and that is one of the things that a lot of Latinos know very well, because if you're a skin color that you could go and dye your hair, wear contact lenses, change your name, and try to drop your accent, you know that this whole world of privileges is going to open up to you. And the more you deny, in this case, your Latino or Latina heritage and have no hint of it, you know, keep it really, you know, digged under, you know, the ground and under the earth, you may just go ahead and just fool everybody and not really, you know, at that point, the world is, you know, the sky's the limit for you.
Well, I think you're educating me on something here, because my perception, and please tell me if I'm wrong on it, was that it's become more acceptable to maintain the Latino culture and the Latino language, multiple radio and television stations. So my sense was that there was less pressure on people to do what you're describing. But you're saying that that's not really the case.
It depends on the color of the skin you're born with or the texture of hair you're born with. If you're born with a color of skin, you could go ahead and try to put bleach on, and you know, and your features are not that refined. That's the word that people in Spanish use, refined features. You know, your little nose, your perfect cheekbones. You know, everything more Eurocentric. Mm-hmm. That's what they call a refined, you know, face. Then you could get away with it. But if you don't have those features, however you believe that you could pull yourself by your own bootstraps, because that's very, you know, common thing that in America and here in the United States we're taught to believe. Well, I was believing that. I mean, you go to school, you stay out of trouble, you get, you know, a 4-year degree. My parents sacrificed a lot for myself and my sisters to go through, you know, to school. You're going to be able to be someone. And I believe, I mean, I'm happy with what I've, you know, become, but I myself was believing that, you know, I was going to be able to obtain anything. I've learned, though, in life that I was still being signaled, you know what, but you're not American, you're a Mexican, but I was born in this country. Yeah. No, you're Mexican. Mm-hmm. My name is Alicia Juarez. You know, I wasn't going to be changing my name. So society will remind me that I wasn't true American, that I wasn't qualified enough. They will question, or get comments, for instance, how well spoken you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like if I was, I went to the schools your daughters went to, so why would I be well spoken? I mean, your daughters are. We receive the same education. Yeah.
You know, Graz, the whole thing with hyphenations, mm-hmm. you know, it's if you belong to the dominant culture, it's you say you're an American, you know. And we talk a lot about culture being lost because you said that you're an immigrant to this country. Your parents came to this country. And so you have a lot of the culture that your parents brought and passed on to you. But if you've been here 3, 4, 5 generations, you mm-hmm. lose touch. You begin to lose more and more because, again, even people that come from Europe that are white understand that to have total access means that you let go of a lot of that. You let go of your language. You let go of your customs, and you become American, whatever that means. But if you are Latina or Latino, if you're black, you are reminded that you are a hyphenated American.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're never seen just simply as an American because you don't have the total access and privileges that Americans have. So I think we all deal with that.
An experience that I've had commonly, and I'll relate one in particular. A few years ago, I was speaking at a conference in Southern Illinois, and I was talking about family catechesis and so forth. And I gave this little multimedia presentation, and some of it I tell a lot of stories. I even do a little singing in it and so forth, you know. And as I left room at the end for some comments and questions, the first comment that came out of this woman, you know, this white woman, was that, "Boy, you spoke so well." You know, as well, I'm a professional speaker, you know what I mean? I'm supposed you hired me to come down here to speak to you, so I think you should expect that I would speak well. What about the content of my presentation? But I think as an African American, the expectation that I would come down and perhaps have some kind of drawl or whatever it might be is just something that I carry with me.
Yeah. You
know? I looked at a program last night about doctors, young doctors, and there was this African American neurosurgeon. He was saying that he had completed this surgery, and it was a very dangerous surgery, and the woman came through well. And he came into the room, and she is profusely thanking the nurse and the intern and the orderly. I mean, everybody in the room that was white, she was thanking them. She looked at him, and she said, are you the, I think she asked if he was the orderly. And he said, "No," he said, "I did your surgery." So she simply looked at him. Here's a man graduated from Harvard, has all of these credentials, a neurosurgeon. But what did she see? She saw the color of his skin.
Yeah.
So we deal with that every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. And you can't be jaded by it. I mean, you go nuts, you know, if you allow that to the emotions to take over, that you learn to be gracious with it. But at the same time, you find, you know, ways of correcting it, you know.
And, you know, from where I sit, it's like, well, you know, it takes time for people to change. I remember as a young kid, somebody saying, well, what about women bus drivers? And I thought, women bus drivers? That's crazy. Women bus drivers. You know, and now, of course, a lot of women drive buses. Mm-hmm. You know, and so for me, it's like, well, you know, I was just a kid. You know, it took me a while to evolve. Well, I have the luxury of wanting to evolve. A person who's living it from the other side, yeah. who's being told you spoke well, unspoken end of the sentence for a black man, mm-hmm. you know, who are you, the orderly? No, I did your surgery.
Yeah,
the sense of urgency on that side yeah. has got to be very different.
And I think that's an important point, that sense of urgency. Yeah.
We need to go to one final break, and then we're going to come back and conclude our conversation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th, perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355. Or www.respectlifechicago.org.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pluto, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Want to learn more about the Junior Board? Come to our general meeting on July 29th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle to learn the ropes and get involved. All are welcome. Save the date for these fun Junior Board events this summer. July 31st is our Faith Committee scavenger hunt. Search out some of the pillars of our Catholic faith in Chicago and end with a social fundraiser at Bull and Bear. Raise money for our Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program at the 6th annual Cubs outing on August 21st. Tickets are $50 and on sale now on our website. Cruise with us for a good cause on the 8th annual boat cruise on the Innisfree. Music, food, and open bar on August 27th from 7 to 10 p.m. for $65 a ticket. These events are open to all Junior Board members and friends. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
9:54 almost in the morning. You're listening to Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and we're talking today about the Office for Racial Justice in the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary. I'd like to ask all of you, and I want to start with you, Esther. You've been doing this work and helping with these workshops for a long time. Tell us one thing that you've learned through this experience.
One thing.
Yeah, I know you've learned a lot, but what really stands out? You know, what's one thing you'd want to pass on to other people that you've had the privilege to learn through this work?
I think what I have learned is that as people come into the conversation about the issue, even though we sense a lot of, I want to say, guilt. On the part of white people who participate in these sessions, that we cannot use guilt as an excuse not to learn, that we have to get past the guilt And we have to get past that sense of feeling, well, it's, you know, you're blaming me for a problem that really is not my problem, which is a part of the white privilege thought construct. And so to get past that guilt and to move into openness, and I find, especially among teachers, that as they go in through that process of moving from guilt to openness, that there's a whole new world out there. And I think that's what we're aiming for. And the world is one of awareness, one of change, and one of hope, that there is hope that this can change. And I think that's the beauty of the work. And it's difficult work, but yet there is hope and there is openness. I see that growth.
That's an important message. Yeah, this is not about being pessimistic and and beating ourselves up, but knowing that this is God's church and this is God's world, and the Holy Spirit is still very much alive and at work.
And I think the thing that, Andrew, when you just shared that little piece about the family catechetical thing, we're Catholics talking to one another. You know, this is not, you know, going out to the corner and preaching a message to the world. These are people who are Catholics. Alicia, we're talking to each other about this problem, and I think that's another key issue to all of us.
Something I've learned is that when addressing racism, we're dealing with a lot of emotions, from fear, hurt, anger, guilt, all of that, and that the only way to do this effectively is to do it with love. That we need to be vigilant about it. We need to be, you know, press forward with it, and that will stir people up. But we need to do it in such a way that our love is evident, that I can't come across as an angry black man who's demanding my space. I got to come across as a determined black man who is in love with my church and respects the dignity of everyone and will protect another's dignity as much as I am protecting my own. And that needs to come across as a love that's sometimes difficult to give, but we're going to give it.
We got 30 seconds for each of you, Anita.
Well, I think it has been a joy doing that. There have been many challenges, but when I think that 10 years ago, we did not have an office. We did not have a space to begin to articulate. We did not have a leader that was going to make that kind of commitment. And so when Cardinal George became our archbishop and made a commitment on behalf of this archdiocese that we would do this hard work and we would do it for the long term, because it's who we were called to be as people of God. So I see great hope. I see a lot of people who understand what this work is about and have joined with us. I see teachers and principals. I see people in parishes that are committed, and that gives me hope. So I hope, my hope is, we won't have a 20th anniversary. This is one office we would like to see go out of business. Oh,
that's a great point, Anita. Alicia, just a couple of seconds. One quick thing that you've learned.
Just that more people experience this and the dimensions of this. And even as our economic situation now shifts, there's new learning. So I guess it's just, I don't know if that is learning, but all the new learning and the potential of more learning. It's just fascinating, I think.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests today, not only for being here, but for the very important work that they do within the Archdiocese. Sister Anita Baird, who's the Director of the Office for Racial Justice, and her Associate Director, Alicia Juarez, Esther Hicks from the Office of Catholic Schools, and Andrew Like on the anti-racism team, and who also does a lot of great work with marriage and helping families. We want to thank our producer and technician this morning, Mr. Jim Dish, and we thank you most of all for tuning in. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Catholic Charities' 13th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 28th at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, more than 500 golfers will have the opportunity to play on all four courses. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Marianne Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet celebrities including former Blackhawks legend Stan Mikita. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/golf. That's www.catholiccharities.net/golf.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techni Towers in Techni, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th, perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355. Or www.respectlifechicago.org.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Want to learn more about the Junior Board? Come to our general meeting on July 29th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle to learn the ropes and get involved. All are welcome. Save the date for these fun Junior Board events this summer. July 31st is our Faith Committee scavenger hunt. Search out some of the pillars of our Catholic faith in Chicago and end with a social fundraiser at Bull and Bear. Raise money for our Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program at the 6th annual Cubs outing on August 21st. Tickets are $50 and on sale now on our website. Cruise with us for a good cause on the 8th annual boat cruise on the Innisfree. Music, food, and open bar on August 27th from 7 to 10 p.m. for $65 a ticket. These events are open to all Junior Board members and friends. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is pleased to present Una Comunidad Católica de Fe. Join us for the next hour as we talk about issues affecting the lives of Hispanic Catholics in Cook and Lake Counties. Let's join our hosts, Father Marco Mercado, Director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics, and Alejandro Castillo, Director of the Office for Hispanic Communications.
Más por todo el universo resonante su voz, su gloria por encima de los cielos es cantada, hasta el fin del mundo llegan sus palabras, su pregón. Cantemos al Señor y publiquemos sus hazañas. Qué grandes son sus obras, qué glorioso es nuestro Dios. Que todo ser viviente alabe su grandeza y que todo lo que digan nuestras bocas sea agradable al Señor. Gloria a Dios. No hay dicho ni palabras, no hay voces que se escuchen, mas por todo el universo resonante su voz. Gloria por encima de los cielos es cantada, hasta el fin del mundo llegan sus palabras, su pregón. No hay dicho.
mundo llegan sus palabras, su pregón.
Bienvenidos. Ustedes están sintonizando al programa arquidiocesano de Una Comunidad Católica de Fe, el programa donde se discute la fe católica desde una perspectiva latina, con Alejandro Castillo, director de Comunicaciones Hispanas, y el padre Marco Mercado, director del Ministerio Hispano. Una Comunidad Católica de Fe les llega cada sábado de 8:30 a 9:30 en dos estaciones, la 1240 y 1470 AM. Y ahora vamos a acompañar a nuestros presentadores, el padre Marco Mercado y Alejandro Castillo.
World Radio. Radio. This is WSBC Chicago and WCFJ Chicago Heights. Salpica para vida eterna en mi ser. Tomando de la fuente, tomando de la fuente, estoy tomando de la fuente que no cesará.